All right, let's get her going here as we close out training camp on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Forget about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Forget about any other team. We alone are closing out our kind of shorter training camp than most hockey shows.
You know what?
Because we just
it's the right amount.
We just started last week.
Yeah, and we had a menu of items to get to. We got a few left just in time for hockey to start. We nailed
it. So the NHL and the Toronto Maple Leafs have to submit their final roster to opening season tonight at 5 p.m.
I see where this is going.
I know where this is going.
Where's it going? You have no idea where it's going. Don't say, I know where it's going when you don't know where it's going.
Is he getting cut?
I knew where this was going. I knew where it was going.
Where's it going?
That you were
going
to cut me.
No.
That I was going to go on LTIR.
No.
Okay.
No.
They're going to bring up a younger, fresher Disco Dan.
No. Okay. That's not to say that you're not on the bubble.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Constantly.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
But my point is that when does our training camp end? Like, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm still a little rusty.
Yeah. You know, camp, I think, for these guys has ended. Even though the regular season has started, like, they've made the team. They've broken camp. It's time now. So I think today camp's over. You can be rusty for a few games. There's 82 of them.
How are you? Like, your reads sucked last week.
I'm great, to be honest. I had an awesome weekend. Saw Lionel Messi in the flesh on Saturday afternoon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, came and played against TFC for Miami. Four separate people ran on the pitch to try to get a picture with him.
I did see that.
It was quite a scene at the old BMO Field.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a good weekend. Great concert Friday, refreshed. Ready to rock.
How do you feel like your Real Kipper and Bourne game is right now? Are you game ready for the season?
No. No, but most people would say that I'm never really game ready. Like, I still see clips of myself on TV, and I'm like, wow, they did that. That's a choice they decided to make. So I'm ready to rock. I'm as ready as I'll ever be, but, you know, I'm fine.
That's the answer. It's I'm as ready as I'm going to be. Yeah, you know.
But we're getting fired right into the narrative blender, like immediately out of the start, right? Because the first game's against Jack Guy and all that drama with the Habs. Mm. Second game of the season against Sheldon Keefe and the Devils, who swept away the woeful Sabres in Czechia. And then home opener against Kyle Dubas's Penguins and Sidney Crosby. Like, wow. It's a narrative week,
that's a
boys.
Big 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting.
Very exciting.
Okay. It'll
be a great start.
All right, I'm Nick Kyprios. He's Justin Bourne. He is our producer, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake upstairs, pushing all the right buttons for us. This is the Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. In the National Hour, we're going to welcome in Andrew Raycroft, retired NHL goalie, retired Toronto Maple Leaf as well, Nissan studio analyst. So we'll get all the goods out of him over the signing, maybe surprising signing of Jeremy Swayman to a $66 million contract with the Boston Bruins.
It's just surprising because it's like, if you're that close, did it have to go public?
Okay, save it.
Disgusted that it happened.
Save it.
Anyways.
It's a National Hour conversation here. Yeah. Let's focus in on the Leafs locking in their roster. More specifically, Max Pacioretty signs a one-year deal with the Leafs worth $873,770 and no cents.
You want to try that again?
Also, Steve, now we're back over. Is it Lorenz or is it Lawrence? What is going on with this guy's last name? We haven't even started the season, and you're bouncing around on me, Sammy.
I checked in with some people that would know. And it's Lorenz. We're going with Lorenz.
So here's my issue.
We're going with Lorenz.
It was Lorenz, and Sportsnet called him Lorenz in playoffs last year and all that. Okay. Then he changed it to like Lawrence, like Jennifer Lawrence sort of thing. And now we're back to Lorenz. So we'll just do Lorenz.
I feel like
we'll do phonetic until told otherwise.
After hearing everything from him in the preseason, I feel like someone just gets his number and texts him, he'd be more than happy to tell you.
So true. World's nicest guy.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I wish we had more training camp games to kind of get accustomed to throwing Kippers Clippers to Craig Berube and not Sheldon Keefe. But this one's going to take time here, guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether, you know, I need another week, 2 weeks, a month, but there's a rhythm to our Kippers Clippers. We got to pick up on it. But in the meantime, let's grind it out with Craig Berube on Lorenz and Pacioretty signing.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. I thought both of them had good camps, and they're again, they got size, skating. They're different players. I get that, but both very important. So pretty happy about that.
Is there a chance that he will never be excited about anything this season unless you win games?
Yeah,
the last game of the season.
I think that's probably the case. I don't think he's ever going to get on the mic and be like, "Who were we good last night? You guys like that, boys, eh?" They never get it.
Boy, howdy, are we good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, eh?
I'm happy about that. I thought.
Sound happy there.
Okay, so no real surprise.
No real surprise.
Except the surprise is Steve Lorenz had himself like one hell of a training camp.
Yeah, really a training camp. I think they had some intention of having him be here, and I think he answered the bell and did his job, even contributed a little bit offensively, which I don't think is the reason he's here. So that's nice. He feels like a good depth guy down the lineup. I would say I'm more surprised at the structure of Pacioretty's deal. $873 gets the Leafs to within $1 of the salary cap. That's Price is Right stuff right there. Nice Pridham. Work by Brandon Pridham. But he is.
I'd buy that for $1.
And you did. But he is entitled to two salary cap bonuses, about $310,000 each. One for playing 10 games, one for playing 35 games. Those two are performance bonuses that would be on next year's salary cap.
Kick it down the road.
Right. So $600,000 on next year's cap if he plays 35 games for the Leafs. I love it. Don't love it, but I do like how cheap it is for this year, so.
And safe to say that if they don't like what they see in the first nine games, they punt.
Well, that's an interesting point, too. You have two pressure points to say it ain't working. One is early, and one of them's 35 games, good amount of games. If game 33, you're like, maybe we're not going to see this through. You can make that call. So they do have some time to see how it plays out.
Since our first show, you were rather skeptical of Max Pacioretty here, excluding watching him wear number 67. Mm-hmm. Where are you today on his training camp? I thought he kind of faded a little bit towards the end here. And maybe that had a lot to do with being in a lineup that didn't include Matthews and Marner and Nylander.
Yeah.
Tavares.
Well, I think he said something interesting. So I like that he's $873,000. I like that he's cheap. You know, I think he's a veteran guy who's not going to hurt them. My issue is taking away a spot from a guy. Robertson ends up sticking around. Why don't we listen to the Pacioretty clip that you got for us on his role with the team? Pacioretty clip one, please.
At this stage of my career, the most important thing is winning. And I feel that this group has a chance to win. There's a lot of strong players. And, you don't just want to be along for the ride. You want to contribute. And you want to help. And I feel like there are areas, some areas that I've, played in my past that can help the team win, and some new roles and whatnot that can help the team win. And it's a new challenge for me, and I'm excited for that.
Saying all the right things.
So roles that he's played in the past, that means being an offensive producer, and roles that, what did he say, some new roles that he's not as...
Which would have him in the bottom six.
Right. And that does show some self-awareness and maybe a willingness to try something different. I guess... It's going to be interesting to see how he's used and how he fits in. As of today, game one for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Bobby McMahon looks like he's a healthy scratch. Pacioretty's going to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
It's never been about Pacioretty for me. It's been about, I just like Bobby McMahon. Scored 15 times last year. He's younger. He's on the come up. He's big and strong.
Yep.
Forechecks. So for me, it's denying other guys' opportunities.
But this is
not
also,
about Pacioretty.
I know, but this is also having to make hard decisions quick. So when you make the commitment to invite him to training camp, and I'm sure between Pacioretty and his agent, I think it's Alan Walsh, I think it's his agent, that there has to be some sort of kind of understanding that he'd get an honest look early to come in and find a role or a place early.
Yeah.
Bobby McMahon, you could be a lot more patient with. And as a young guy, he can handle it probably a lot better than a guy coming in like that and starting the season with, I'm already didn't get a fair shake.
And, you know, they do say, and maybe you've seen this, but like veterans take longer to find their footing, to get up to game speed, you know. So for Pacioretty, I think it's reasonable to say, let's give him a fair shake. Let's see how his skating is after the Achilles injuries, after a year last year. Can he get up to speed and be a useful guy? I think to the point, the conversation we had before, maybe you know after 20 games it's just not there and you can make that decision. But, yeah, for a guy like McMahon, he's probably fought for every bit so far. Not the worst thing to hit for him to have a reality check that you're a fringe guy. Just a reminder, you're a fringe guy.
It's amazing to me that, and this is not really necessarily about his role, but what he said in that clip, that these veteran guys still keep saying, like, I want a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And it's like they still, like, people still believe that they actually have the chance to win.
Yes.
And it's just like this fan base is what they think about this team versus what others think about it. There just couldn't be more, like, from the outside looking in, maybe it looks like that. And then the fan base is like, what are you talking about? Win? Like, win? Like, that's always, it's amazing to me that, like, he says that in that clip. Maybe he's just trying to get a contract or whatever. Or no, he already had a contract. I don't know. Does that surprise you that these guys still say that?
No, because, I mean, Max has made a lot of money, and he's holding on for dear life to a career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you end up trying to go to Columbus, Anaheim, or, like, the Leafs are a legit contending team.
There's six or eight teams,
and we all assume that the Leafs are in the mix. If we were going to pick six or eight teams that have a legitimate shot at winning the Stanley Cup, we'd put the Leafs in it.
Yes.
That's what he's doing here.
Okay.
And I get it. The jokes are, come on, it's the Leafs. You can't get out of the first round, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And yet, you know, we think that the Leafs will be a 100-point-plus team in the standings. Could they win the Atlantic? Yeah, it's a possibility. Yeah. Will they? Who knows? But he's not wrong on saying that at least I'm a part of an organization that have incredibly high expectations. He could have picked six or eight teams that would assure him probably 60 to 80 games. And I'm not even sure that they were out there, that they existed, because, like, to Sam's point, or your point, put a young guy in there. Why do I want a Max Pacioretty on Anaheim right now? It serves no purpose. So it's really a small window of how many teams could do this for Max Pacioretty. The Leafs know that they need some scoring.
And if for $873 or whatever, you know, for under $900,000, it's like he's probably, well, no, he definitely can do more for you than your average guy making around league minimum. So
I will say that I think this is going to work.
Okay.
With Pacioretty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's going to be.
I'm skeptical.
I don't think it's going to be like a, you know, he's going to score 25 goals or something. But I think he's going to be a guy that's a contributor and is not a total zero on the team.
I wonder, how do you think it looks, works? Like, what does it look like? What's a positive outcome?
The lines this morning at practice, which seemingly could be an opening night lineup potential. The top two lines are very familiar to people, with the core four and then Domi and Nyes on the other side. But Pacioretty, Holmberg, Robertson, to me, that's a line that, you know, both those guys on both wings can shoot in the net. They're both, you know, you got the veteran guy in Pacioretty, Holmberg, who's a good skater. Robertson has had a really good preseason. Like, to me, that's a line that could potentially score some goals. I just don't think it's going to be a disaster like some people are trying to paint it out to be. You, maybe.
I think it's 50-50 he's here in playoffs.
Okay. I'll hear that.
Yeah. Am I?
I think it's 50-50 by Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So let's give it a run.
Yeah.
Let's give it a run, see what it is there.
Okay.
He
was very, just one more on Pacioretty. He was very complimentary about the team this weekend with his comment. Do you have the clip where he talks about this is the hardest?
I do have that clip.
Yeah. Can we?
Pacioretty clip two there, Derek.
Yeah, there's a reason why they have success. This is the hardest group I've ever been a part of. I've seen it, saw it from day one. These top guys, it's not a fluke why they're the top guys. They put in the work. They take care of themselves. I saw it within, you know, 2 minutes of being here, but you see it every day, every morning, and it's really nice to be around.
It's an incomplete quote.
When I heard it, I'm like, what does hardest mean?
It's the hardest group I've been a part of.
Yeah, like hardest on the head?
Well, I've seen people in writing it, you know, put the brackets in and say working, as in they're saying he's the hardest working. But I don't think that's what he's saying.
I don't know.
I think he says...
I think it's the assumption is that he just forgot to say working.
Right, that's what people are implying. But, like, you've been a part of all these different teams and groups at the start of the year.
What else?
Well, challenging. It's like it's been a hard camp, or it's like a hard group to be a part of because they're pushing each other.
I do believe that.
He means working?
I do believe he did mean it.
Yeah,
mean
right.
But what else? Like, there's no other reason.
It's a hard group.
He said, God, these guys are hard to be around.
But he also spoke of watching, like, Matthews or Marner or Nylander go out and do hard drills for an hour before even practice started. So I do believe that he is leaning towards that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he's supposed to be one of those guys. He's a fitness guy and all that, isn't he?
Who's that?
Pacioretty.
I don't know. Himself, I mean, yeah. Did we, like, for me, from afar, like, not knowing everybody around the league, but I think we can generally say that we know that we could think about guys that have reputations for being really hardworking, and then others that maybe don't.
Yep.
You know, I don't know where Max Pacioretty falls into the, you know, being a good judge of, like, how many teams has he been on? How many games has he played? He's come here for 3 weeks, and he sees in 3 weeks that they're the hardest working group he's ever been around. I'm questioning the groups he's been around.
He did say that pre-contract. That was before the contract was signed.
I can't say that's not a factor here.
Like, and to answer your question...
You're interviewing for a job and all these interviews and...
To answer your question, Kippy's played 902 career games.
902 games. That's a lot of teams. Montreal,
Vegas, Carolina, and now the Toronto. And
Caps. Really just Montreal, and then a couple years here and there.
Like, I think it's nice if he's trying to kind of, like, you know, make the guys feel good or appreciate it for their hard work. But
maybe it's a hardworking group, Kip. Maybe it's a hardworking group.
I got news for you. Like,
they're all hardworking.
They're all hardworking.
Yeah, I would hope.
Like, all these guys go to camp and they work hard.
The guy that got traded from Buffalo
to
Colorado, and he was like, this is an actual team. This is brutal. I mean, it was middle stat, right? When Colorado was like, this team works hard.
Like, they practice really hard.
Maybe, you know, he's just, you know, you guys are hardworking, and maybe they are. Maybe they're ready to go to another level.
Boys, there's a first time for everything, and it's that you guys couldn't figure out what somebody meant in a clip.
Yeah.
Because you guys can usually do that pretty well.
I don't like that the answer is the easy one. It's probably just hard work.
Yeah, you just forgot.
It was. Yes. Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second.
So Bobby McMahon's on the outside looking in. This show has been very pro-McMahon last year. I mean, you think he should have signed a bigger contract. I've been pushing for him.
Well, I just think he should have.
When he was in the AHL last year, writing about him. Yeah. Let's listen to Craig Berube, who has him outside of the starting lineup night one.
You know, good and bad, I think. Not bad, but, like, you know, there's more there. I know that. Bobby knows that. So, you know, I felt he maybe was a little hesitant at times. You know, he's a great skater, good size, needs to be a power forward out there. And I'm not too worried about it.
He's going to force Bobby McMahon to run into people.
Well, now, did you have... You've watched him other places, or you played against him, or something. You've
watched him with the Marlins.
Yeah, you thought he was no, but even prior to that, where he did you think? Maybe I'm wrong, but didn't you think he was soft early?
I don't know.
No?
Not soft, but he's not a bruiser. Like, I think
doesn't come natural.
He's a good forechecker, like sticks and whatever, but he's not like in your face.
Okay, but to Sam's point, it's not. You think it's something that needs to be really manufactured with him, or it just doesn't
consciously do it.
And can he? You think he can? Because judging by Berube's comments, it's like, sometimes not.
Yeah.
We gotta know exactly what we're getting out of a guy that should be a power guy.
I think, in today's NHL, I think he can. We've seen him be aggressive and win pucks and be in battles.
Oh, come off the wall and drive to the net and like have four guys hanging on him. Like, he's that kind of strong.
Right. So he can do that, but I do think, in terms of the physicality, like, using all the tools is going to be, you know, it's like Pierre Engvall, right? All the tools, can you use them?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a reason he makes, what does he make, $1 million a year? Like, Bobby McMahon, like, with a body and skating, and, like, there's a reason that he costs nothing, right? Yeah. There's going to be flaws in his game. The thing that I think people are going to take getting used to with a new coach is having guys that were a lock in the lineup last year on the outside, right? Like, for example, him, where
Man,
if you were if you were writing this like at the start of or the end of last year and be like opening night next season, Bobby McMahon's on the outside looking in, nobody would have believed you, but no. It's just something you got to get used to with a new coach.
You go, Craig Berube's coming in, McMahon's out, Robertson's in. I'd be like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, Liljegren's out.
Timmins
is in. Like, yeah, it's just a very, it's just going to take some getting used to, I think, fellas.
One of the things that has and is standing out for me is when I look at this lineup, is Tavares back at second line centerman.
Yeah, okay. There he is.
And
do you know I wrote about this today?
The one thing, I'll ask you about it in 2 seconds. And the other thing is that Holmberg is locked in. Now, you guys have known for a long time how I felt about Holmberg.
You're the original,
okay?
Holmberg.
Yeah, you are.
And there's a sense right now that Craig Berube is really high on the Holmberg train.
Really? Choo-choo.
Oh, I can see it right now. I just look at that lineup. And that
Holmberg
guy,
with Patches and Robertson.
That guy locked in at number three right now. Is one hell of a statement for me. And I've said this all along, that this guy is big, he's strong, and like the lack of development for him over the last 2 years has been a concern, but I think it's surfacing now.
You know, he had guys in St. Louis like Buchnevich and Braden Schenn, you know, like some big forwards that could chip in here and there, but were just strong and physical, and I'm sure he sees a light version of those guys in Holmberg. You know, he came in, what do we say, 217 or something? Like, he's a big guy. So, yeah, when you look at the ins and outs for Craig Berube, Holmberg up for sure, Timmins, Robertson up, McMahon, Liljegren down. You know, those are some early returns on Craig Berube's likes and dislikes.
Yeah. Now, does anyone envision game one that Matthews, Tavares end up 1-2 again?
Of the playoffs?
Yeah.
No.
Of the playoffs?
Because I don't.
Playoffs? We're talking about a regular season.
Oh, starting game one in the playoffs. Like, is there a chance that Matthews and Tavares play through the regular season, albeit healthy or, you know, maybe a night off, that they aren't 1-2 to end the season?
You think that Tavares is likely the 3-seed puck drop in the playoffs?
Twice now. That we've heard Nylander at center twice, last year and this year in training camps, and yet there he is starting at second.
Yeah.
So there is somebody in that organization that goes, we need better than Tavares at number two.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, that they do for sure.
And they've bailed twice on it.
And so my article, it's on sportsnet.ca, it's exactly about this, about Nylander and about his ability to be that. I think when you look at it on paper in the summertime, you go, God, he's great through the neutral zone with the puck, and he's big and strong, and he's right-handed, he could win draws, and he could solve all our problems. And then you look at the way things shake out. One, you give up on all the breakaways. He's fourth in the NHL in breakaways last year. He's behind the D all the time, pulls guys out. You hate, in the article, there's a video of his, like, cheating goals.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, no back checkers. He's just gone. So you give that up. And then how do you get the ice time for these guys the way that it works? If you have them on three different lines, you're trying to get everyone involved, keep these guys at, you know, $11 million minutes. It's a real challenge to make that work. If you want Tavares as your third line center, then Willie has to play against hard matchups and in the D zone at center. And I think that scares coaches.
I think the big, great loss thing that we always talk about here is them not getting Ryan O'Reilly back. It was just like the perfect fit, and he took the contract that they offered him in Nashville, right? Like, him not coming back after that season, he was the perfect guy that can go up, that can go down. He was like that sort of
penalty.
Yeah, like, he was the perfect guy, and they never really filled that in. But they did get a pick at the draft this year, the second round pick, I remember, from Boston. They made a trade to get a second round pick. So they do have a second round pick, like,
to maybe turn into a,
maybe that's what they use at the deadline to get a guy that can play 3-2C and kind of take away Tavares' minutes a bit.
Well, that's,
yeah, it is. It's a work in progress.
Like, yeah,
as is,
but they can patch it with this.
I think even if you kept Tavares, and yeah, there's some issues there with the skating and the movement out there and the turnovers on occasion, but as is, this team, with their eyes closed, are a top three team in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. right? So, and 100 points, and we'll be in the playoffs. So, then what's the rush into finding something that you think?
But that will be where their eyes are, you think, for come trade deadline.
I think for a year now, it's
funny
been
because the deer are pretty good
of what do we think that can lean and push in the 1-2 hole for center iceman.
Funny because they look a lot stronger at winger now. Obviously Marner and Nylander, Nyes, Domi. But Pacioretty and Robertson being pretty good guys, that means you got McMahon and Yarncroc out. Mm-hmm. You know, those are guys that those you're pretty good at winger where you have
Yarncroc's fallen off.
Yeah.
He doesn't appear to be like a favorite of Berube's.
Well, the fact that
we have that in common.
The fact that he's hurt right now is a little hurt?
Like, I don't know.
You know, he kind of had this fine lower body issue. The coach called him day to day. He maybe tweaked it in preseason. All of a sudden, he's going to miss 10 games on LTIR. Like, I'm glad he's going to have time to get it healed, but this does feel salary cap related. Let's get your injury better. See you in a month for Yarncroc. Kind of punting that down the road a little bit.
I don't know how it works with players and agents with that sort of stuff.
And the like, team says, hey, will you
if I'm this? Healthy, I don't know how I would react. I'd be like, I'm good to go. I don't know what they're talking about.
Put me on there. Me too, for sure.
But I don't know. Today's player, today's game, the circumstances, you're no longer fit here, but we're trying to move you. Or, you know, can you help us move you? Does that stuff go on? I don't know. But it just seems to me like last year with Sheldon, he was like, Mr. Reliable.
Yeah.
Put him with the two guys that you think are the weakest link on a line, and he will cover you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was with a yarn foot.
Yeah, exactly. Put him up, down, whatever.
I don't get that sense right now with him. And, you know, if we were talking about ways that the Leafs could, and we'll get into the defense right now, but there's ways that the Leafs can alleviate contracts and salary cap. I think Yarncroc. I think David Kempf, and I think of Liljegren. That's a lot
Kempf included.
I think he's safe because again with Holmberg and Tavares and the unknown between second and third line, this guy is a natural centerman. He can and he takes faceoffs. He wins faceoffs.
He's big too.
He's big.
I got to tell you,
key guy.
Fourth line.
Key guy.
I am a Neanderthal after all, but like
that's a great fourth line.
It's awesome. And they had that goal on Saturday night. I don't know if you saw, Lorenz hammers a guy down, the puck goes below the goal line. Reeves hammers another guy. Yep. Like it's just
goes to the net.
Still hockey.
You know, I tell you what, in playoffs, if you know, depending how it shakes out, if it's Lorenz, Kempf, McMahon as a fourth line, that is really, really good.
Yep. And probably, I mean, Reeves mixed in and out. It's the way
he'll probably start the series there or something, much like
did last
year. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the blue line here because...
you want to take a break and then come back to the blue line?
You're the producer. I'm just... Let's
hit a break and then we'll come back, reset, talk about the... hit the blue line.
All right, you heard the man. When we return on Real Kipper and Bourne, we'll get into the Toronto Maple Leaf blue line and where ultimately does the lily pad fit in. Back after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
Big way for me to get off a PTO here. I got a big read.
Oh.
Yeah, so you guys ready?
Okay, let's see the improvement over last week.
I was practicing in the mirror. The NHL is back. You can catch all the action all season long on Sportsnet, Sportsnet Plus, and the Sportsnet Radio Network. To celebrate the start of the new season, Rogers is giving away hundreds of prizes through a national Rogers Beyond the Seat contest, including the grand prize of a chance to win a trip to any NHL game this season. To enter for your chance to win, head to rogers.com/NHL. Contest closes on October 25th. Boom.
Sign him up.
You know how I knew it was good when you emphasized all season long.
Oh, it was hot. I was feeling
really
hot.
Good.
When you
really
stretched
good.
Out the all.
And he hit the all caps any NHL game.
I was feeling hot.
Yeah, well done.
Feeling hot. All right. back to the regular schedule program.
Okay. I don't know if there's any surprise there, but Marshall Rafai and Matt Murray both clear waivers, which leaves question marks on Timmins and Philip Myers, who's in the hunt and a guy that I don't think a lot of people had any expectations on and is now debatably in the lineup Wednesday.
This is Timothy Liljegren just holding the door open for anyone to have a spot. I'm fascinated by the Connor Timmins thing. Let's be real. Connor Timmins does a thing when he's healthy. He's 6'2", he's right-handed, he gets points. He sees the ice and he can make plays. He just doesn't stay healthy. But if I'm Craig Berube coming in and watching him and going, what am I missing? Why don't we like this guy more? Like, good hockey player, just needs to stay healthy.
I think there's a sense that if he was exposed, he'd be claimed.
I think so, yeah.
Timmins?
Yeah. I think there's an argument to say that Myers has had a training camp that if exposed, he would get picked up. These are two right-handed D who have shown signs that they can be serviceable players in the National Hockey League. So it's just part of the depth that you hope that you can hold on to. And if both of them are in a situation where they're part of the roster or they're first man up on a call-up, that's what you need.
Yeah.
Like you need those bodies in place come April, especially when a few guys go down.
Yeah. No, it is. It's. I'm fascinated that he likes Timmins. Can we hear what Berube has to say about Timmins? He's got clip six there, Craig Berube.
I think that he's a real good puck mover, for one. Sees the ice and makes plays. Two, he's been hard in camp. I think he's been competitive defensively and done a good job.
Hard in camp. He said hard in camp, too.
Camp sounds hard.
Hard. He said hard in camp.
You're the hard Leafs.
It is. It has been a very good training camp for them when it comes to, I think, start to finish showing a side of hardness.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I see
just from watching the games, or do you get another sense?
All of it.
Okay.
Just, all of it.
Competitive camp because a lot of good players.
It started from day one when he implemented maybe a day or two of those puck battle, right? And like you're fighting for a job and you want to be noticed. Like I've been in training camps over my career where it's so like hard. You're fighting tooth and nail. Like you're not a teammate of mine. You are an opponent. You're in my way of getting a spot. That's what training camp should really be when you walk
yet.
In. Not a teammate yet. Until I'm told that we're teammates, you are a guy standing in my way. Now it's 2024. And it ain't like it was in my day where you would just simply two-hand a guy, chop down a tree or drop your gloves or get into the biggest argument on the ice and accuse a guy of being dirty, all of that. It's not like that today, but Craig pulled it back a little bit on these guys.
Yeah, it's
pulled
going
it
to be
what do you mean
fascinating.
Pulled it back
to 1990 more older school where it's like nothing's given. You got to earn it. You got to go out there. And I think I just get a sense that was missing in the last few years.
You know what makes me trust Craig Berube more is that the people who seem to have won his trust in this camp are not just the biggest guys they have. Like Robertson won a spot. Connor Timmins has won a spot, and he's not a physical guy, but he's said to these guys, show me. Mm-hmm. Show me you're worth it, and these guys did. And so he said he rewarded them for playing a certain way.
To go back to my point, like with the new coach, there's no prior, like, reputations.
And he didn't nothing just come in going, I like the big one, not the little guy.
Yeah.
He set it up that, like, there's going to be three or four, maybe one, two, I don't know, but This isn't going to work out for everybody. Mm-hmm. For this to really kind of have a sense of continue to progress, there's going to be guys that
gotta be losers.
There's got to be losers. There's got to be examples. There's got to be losers. Not everybody's going to love him. He's going to pick one or two guys, and I don't know who they are right now. There's a sense that like a guy like Nick Robertson, okay, say what you will, but that guy works his ass off.
He does,
and he works hard. He works hard, and it's been noticed.
Yeah. Walk hard. Hard.
What the,
I've never heard that drop in before, ever.
That's Derek.
That's right. A new one.
Yeah, I guess it's because we've said hard 100 times in this thing. You just talked about Dewey Cox, yeah. I guess.
So not everybody's going to fall in. And
Liljegren is the one.
Liljegren, Yarncroc, I question right now. McMahon, you question a little bit. So we'll see how this thing shapes out. Is there one in Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, or Marner where he's going to have to use one of those guys as an example, or do they all just buy in?
You're right.
That's the big one here. That's the big one, is that you can come out of training camp and feel like, hey, we're all one and we're all going great, but lose a couple of games and a couple of scenarios where you're not getting the best out of anyone. What happens moving forward?
The one thing that's always bothered me is, you know, even when I, you know, you played junior hockey and you scored 60 goals one year, you know, I was an all-star in a junior hockey team, but you'd have bad games and you'd end up on the third line or the fourth line. You play 11 minutes one night because your coach sends a message like, hey, doesn't matter if he's one of our best guys. That just never has happened here, where you've seen Matthews doesn't have it tonight, so they're just not going to use him. You know, final minutes are not going to put him over the boards because he just didn't have it tonight. I'd like to see that happen a little bit. It's for the greater good, not the...
So later on this week, we're going to have Mike Keenan come in studio.
Oh, my God.
He's got a book out.
Are you scared?
He's going to get wheeled in like
no,
Hannibal
I'm
Lecter.
Not.
The,
I'm not. I'm not. I think it's going to be, like, fascinating because yeah. I'm asking him questions that may be in the book or may not be in the book.
I might just do my Michael Jackson with a thing of popcorn gif. I just sit here and watch you two talk.
So here's a guy that I know would go into training camp and already it would be pre-written. I don't like that guy. That guy's not for me. He can do anything he wants in training camp. I believe I can't win with that guy. I got to get him out of the room.
Crazy.
So I think there are some coaches that just can look at a guy and go, that's not,
he's not,
guy,
a winner.
Not my guy.
And Mike Singletary can't win with him.
Can't do it.
Right? And listen, Nick Robertson has been really good, and he's done everything that's asked. The one thing that he couldn't do from last year to this year
is be taller.
Is look bigger. And you're right.
Cannot play with him.
Be taller.
Cannot win with him.
Yeah.
Right? Cannot coach with him.
So I do believe that there's some in that organization that sit there and go, I want a bigger guy on the third line. I'm sorry. But Nick Robertson, Pacioretty and Holmberg as a third line against the Boston Bruins in the first or second round, I need heavier than Nick Robertson.
Yep. Yeah. I don't feel that way, but I understand that people do.
Yeah. So we'll see how this thing shapes up, but we're going to start the first couple of weeks and there's going to be a few guys going, he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
That doesn't like me. Because there always is when it comes to a head coach.
Yeah.
I want winners. But
isn't there the way that he is that he may seem like he doesn't like anybody?
Well, it may seem like it, but he'll show you both how he rewards ice time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's been very complimentary to this group so far.
Yeah,
and they've also earned it. I think it's been a really good camp. And I worried about the system and the adjustments. I think we've got a Craig Berube clip on adjusting to a new system. Let's listen to him before we comment.
Well, there's always, I think, adjustments and with the new system, and when the real games begin, I truly believe that. But even throughout exhibition games, you know, we're always, you know, looking at video with the players and going over things and little adjustments here and there, and it takes time.
I didn't pick the Leafs to win the Atlantic just based on my belief that it might have taken 10, 12 games to make an adjustment.
Pick Florida?
I picked the Boston Bruins.
Oh, to miss playoffs? All right.
But
they're very good. Boston's
didn't really matter to me for a second or third. It's just about a Leaf team that you think is built better in the playoffs than prior years. But I thought the adjustment might cost them winning the Atlantic with Craig Berube. And overall,
you can see a slow start.
Well, I mean, he wants to turn him to north-south and dump and chase. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what we've seen out of the last few years out of Willie and Marner. And
it's going to be fascinating to see Which of those three guys? Not even Tavares. Tavares will do whatever he has.
They like handling the puck. They like their east-west.
I want to see who's stubborn and who's like, all right, doing it, doing what coach says.
And my experience in professional hockey with certain guys is habits are hard to break.
Oh, yeah. I bet you Willie dumps it in. I bet you it's a Matthews Marner thing. Which one of them is
going to... For how long? Until what? He goes 3 or 4 games without a goal?
No, because, you know, you only have to do it long enough for your coach to be like, all right, he's a guy I like. And then you're fine.
And then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, you just got to win the approval, the mental approval. It will be interesting. So we talked a little bit about size up front. We talked about, you know, Robertson, McMahon, Holmberg, these guys. The Leafs are big on the back end this year, and Liljegren is on the outs. We've got a comment from Berube on why do you like the size on D.
You said that you've never heard him excited.
Yeah.
He gets excited in this clip.
Giant demon.
There you go.
The answer might be obvious, so pardon the dumb question, but why do you like Cy so much on the blue line?
They're getting away. Well, no, listen, like, it's not all about size, but, you know, it's, you know, when you got size, it's hard to get around you, and it's just getting away, you know, and they cover things around your net, and they've got reach with their sticks, and it's important because there's so many quick, dynamic players now with and size up front, too. Like, you need that long reach and getting away, and they bump you, and they, you know, they're just in the road a lot. So, you know, I think it's an important thing, you know. I mean, there's obviously... smaller D that play in the league and pretty dynamic, though.
Man, this organization's come a long way because it was only a few short years ago that Kyle Dubas instructed his scouts, don't care.
Yeah, they've come a long way from here, 360.
Don't care about size. Don't bring me size. Bring me skill, skill, skill. 5'8", 5'9", on D, no problem. Bring them.
I feel like that's hockey. The pendulum has swung back where everyone is like, it's going to be the fastest league, so much skill. It's going to be a totally different sport. And then in the playoffs, all these big Los Angeles Kings and Bruins and St. Louis Blues ground everyone to paste. And it was like, maybe big's good still.
Yeah. Maybe we'll still do Vegas the big thing. When they won.
Yeah. Like they're just monsters.
All huge guys.
I was like, hey, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
What was Colorado's D? It was Josh Manson and Eric Johnson.
Kale McCarr's pretty good.
Yeah, he's shifty. He's big too, though.
Pretty good.
You know, they got
Devin Tate's pretty good.
Although they did have Girardi.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah. No question that as a collective group, this is the best we've seen.
Yes.
Since Leafs D-Core?
Sorry?
The Leafs D-Core?
Yes.
Yeah, no question.
And it's also, there's so many. You know, Riley, Tanev, OEL, McCabe, Benoit, Timmins, Hockenpah, Liljegren, Myers. Myers is fascinating. Like, I'm surprised he's still here.
Myers has had success in Nashville, and I think he had early success in Philadelphia.
I think close to 200.
But the tendency with him is to fade.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
I got a scouting report on him, which is just, you know, not all guys who are big like to be physical per se, and he's struggled handling weight and pushing back appropriately given his stature. Mm. So when games get hard, which is later in the year, which is what you're talking about, he hasn't been able to stay in there and be that guy. So why don't we got Berube on him?
Oh yeah. Well, did you see the clip of him this morning practicing fighting with Ryan Reeves?
Was he?
Yeah, they're on the ice practicing fighting.
And you want to stay with the team, Pat?
He was practicing fighting, and there was a great photo. I don't know who took it. One of the Leafs beat reporters of Max Domi, literally on a knee with like the big no teeth smile, just looking watching, at them, yeah. Like from me to UA knee, just watching them fight. It was great. It's great.
That is great.
I liked it.
Let's listen to Berube clip 3 on Myers.
I think competitiveness is number one for sure in effort. I mean, this guy competed hard in camp, in the games, in training camp, and practices. You know, big guy, takes the body, you know, he's got a good stick and, you know, blocking shots, penalty killing, things like that. So, he impressed us.
Impressed us.
Was that he pressed us or he impressed us?
He impressed us.
All right.
Yeah. I think
27, 6 foot 6.
The other good thing to come out of this training camp is a few names that have kind of stepped up and made noise for them to take second and third looks. And I think he'd be one of them for sure.
That's crazy. He played 16 playoff games for the Flyers in 2020.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got real experience.
He's got something. Yeah.
Quickly, before we go to break, because we got to go to break soon.
Well, no, we still got 5 minutes. I want to go ahead. Where you want to take this?
I wanted to know if you guys watched the Amazon thing yet. But you don't want to do that?
Yes,
I did. Is that where you wanted to go, Kipper? Where do you have
something? I was just
going to
mention Easton Cowan. There is a guy that we have not mentioned. Has he been sent down yet?
Yeah, it's official.
Okay, today he got just the comment about fighting with this guy. This guy's the CHL Player of the Year.
MVP.
A guy that many thought would start here. I was one of them. When I heard he ain't going to training camp for the London Knights and he's been here all summer kind of training and hanging out with the big boys and set up shop to stay not in a hotel, that like it was just a foregone conclusion that this guy was going to start here.
He had a place here?
I don't know if he had a place here or he had a living arrangement other than
a hotel.
But so like, my point in all of this is like, you know, is this a guy that missed a window here or is it okay here?
That, well,
you know, he didn't make as much noise as he did last year.
Luke Fox has an article out right now. His article, it's Maple Leaf Notes, and his stuff's always great, obviously. The quote he shared was an Easton Cowan quote where he says, I feel like adding a bit more sandpaper in my game, maybe fighting a bit more. And he carries on to say whatever. And it's just like, if I'm the Leafs, I'm like running to catch him in person. Like, stop, you got the wrong impression. That's not what we want.
I don't know, I'm not sure if that's the case or not. Like, again, you got a head coach that has 3,000 penalty minutes or 2,000 penalty minutes.
Yeah, but he...
You can't tell me that doesn't make him feel like, you know...
We didn't have Robert Thomas fighting guys. He knows good from bad.
No, I'm not saying that's what he wants out of him. I'm saying that I could see him saying that based on looking at his coach.
Yeah, for sure. That's a young kid being like...
a young kid saying...
Coach likes fighting.
Coach fought... Likes fighting, meat and potatoes guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I got to do this.
Yeah, no, you need to go back and have the puck for an entire year.
He's just going to go have a Kipper in the AHL year, just 300 PIMs.
Yeah.
Just
don't want that for Easton Cowan.
The one thing that is a little concerning is if one of the big boys goes down, lose. Significant time. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, right? If you lose one of those guys, like, who in the lineup steps in? I thought, like, Cowan, if his game evolved, you could see in a position to have the skill to step up like that. But you just wonder, like, if they lose one of their big boys, like, who, how do you fill the void?
You don't.
Yeah, I mean, they were second in the NHL in goals last year. I think you can live with being sixth in the NHL if you don't have one of your best guys. And hopefully Nick Robertson scores a bit more and Nye scores a bit more and you try to fill it that way. I do wonder with a guy like Cowan why teams seem adverse to trying different ways. Like, he's done everything you can do in junior. Shouldn't he go play in the Swiss League like Matthews did or, you know, go play against men at some different development level?
You think the Hunters are taking their meal ticket back to the Memorial Cup and letting them go to the Swiss League?
This isn't about the Hunters.
Oh, yeah, it is.
This is about the business, pal.
He's money to them.
He is to them if I'm Cowan. And just a reminder, if you're listening, you're not owned.
It's CBA driven. That's what it is.
I'm sure the Leafs could say we want him in some different, but... Seems like he's going to go back to where he had a pile of success.
I don't want to say this too loud, but it's probably good to have a good relationship with the London Knights.
For sure.
The other thing, don't underestimate the influence of Matthew Tkachuk, too, to Easton Cowan.
How so?
Look at Matthew Tkachuk, a big scorer, top player, fights every once in a while. Maybe that's his role model.
What are you talking?
Oh, yeah.
How tall is Easton Cowan? Matthew Tkachuk is a large person.
Well, Matthew Tkachuk's probably 200 pounds. What's Easton Cowan? Buck 80?
Generously.
Okay.
70?
Well, hey, beef up, pal. Maybe he
5'11", 185.
Hey, he could be a little bit of a little more Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
What do you think?
Hey, we all could be.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're back. We go national. Andrew Raycroft coming up next.